So we left off the previous year with a question. The question is being posed against the opinion that we actually don't accept the halacha. That was the view of Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava were of the opinion that people sometimes do pay back loans within the time. It's not inconceivable. People do, they don't want to be bothered, want to be pestered in 2 weeks from now. So they won't pay back the chol before. And therefore, according to Abaye, if I come to you and I say, you owe me $1,000, and you respond, I paid you back before the time, that is an acceptable, that is a legitimate response. And we happen not to pass, like, when we pass like Rishlokish and eight other parade, that's considered to be so off the charts, no normal person would do such a thing. But Abaye and Rava, out of their opinion, they held not that way. The problem was that Abaye and Rava were against the Mishnah, because the Mishnah in the Choro speaks about people not giving Pidyon HaBen before the time has arrived. The context of the Mishnah was a little bit of a sale, of a tragic scenario of Pidyon HaBen, where Nebuch the father dies within 30 days of when the baby was born. Now, when the baby gets older, we're trying to figure out, did the father do Pidyon HaBen? We don't have any records, we have no pictures, we have no idea, did the father do Pidyon HaBen, not do Pidyon HaBen? So the Mishnah says emphatically that you can assume that he did not do Pidyon HaBen. And therefore, we're going to make the son give the money for Pidyon HaBen later. Why do we say that with such conviction that he didn't do Pidyon HaBen? So according to Reish Lakish, where we pass it, I understand. Eidon and Peretos Mano, people don't pay back chokos that they don't have to before the time has arrived. But according to Abaye and Rava, how do they understand Pshat in that Mishnah? So Tosus suggested either eight terah to two terah, depending on how you read the Tosus. Let's take a look back at the Tosus, the third of the Marma Kamos. It's five lines from the bottom of the Tosus. The middle of the line, Mefarish Ri Tam Acher. The Hocha, when it comes to loans, came in the Chayev loan, the Yisrami Lezuzay, since Reuven is Chayev to Shimon already, he already borrowed the money a few while ago, and he happens to have some money now. So therefore, it is conceivable that he would pay back within the time. He doesn't want to be bothered because he knows in his heart that eventually he's going to have to pay. There's no way he's going to get out of having to pay. And therefore, he might as well jump the gun. About Gabi Bechor, when it comes to Bechor, until 30 days, he's not chayev altogether. And maybe the child will die within 30 days. And then he'll be totally exempt from giving the Pidyon HaBen. Therefore, he's not going to jump the gun and give the Pidyon HaBen before. That's the difference. So we left off at the very end of the Shiur on Wednesday with the question, how to read these couple words of Tosfos. Very, very cryptic Tosfos. The Tosfos being one answer, or the Tosfos means two answers. I can read the Tosfos in one of two ways. Let's go back for a moment, read the Tosfos now, one of two ways. Period. End of answer, end of distinction number one. When I borrow money from you, I'm chayev the money right away. The time hasn't come yet, but Olamaisa, there's a chiyuv there, there's a chov there. Whereas when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, there is no chov, there is no halach obligation, zero, nothing, until 30 days are over. So that teret stands in its own right. That's an independent distinction between borrowing money, ruined from Shimon, in contrast to being chai of money to the Kohen B'Toras Pidyon HaBen, because the chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen doesn't kick in until after the 30 days are over. This is, again, the world of Abaye and Rava. Oh, well, that's, of course, it. You're setting us up for the next part of the Shaila. So this could be an independent answer. If that's the case, so basically what Tosfos is telling us is a fundamental yisod, that people's psychology, and again, this is still within the world of Abaye and Rava, people's psychology, whether people pay that chobos or not, in a certain sense, depends on what is the halachic status of that chov. If the halachic status, in theory, exists, like I borrow $1,000 from you, the chiv exists. It's not collectible yet. You can't take me to a temporary yet. I can close the door in your face right now. But the chov, in theory, exists. So then Abaye and Rava say, chovos that exist, at least on paper, one could potentially pay back within this bond. Pidyon HaBen doesn't even exist. Not even in theory. Doesn't exist in the world of Allah. So it comes out that the difference between a chov within X amount of time in contrast to a Pidyon HaBen is not a practical difference. Lamaisa, the Kohen can't come to me now. Lamaisa, the Malva can't come to me now. The Kohen comes, I'll tell him to get lost. The Malva comes, I'll tell him to get lost. So practically speaking, there's no difference. But conceptually, there's a difference. Conceptually, in one place there's a chov, one place there's no chov. And that conceptual difference makes a distinction within people's psychology. People pay back chovos that they're obligated in, even though it's not really truly collectible in Olam Hazeh yet. That idea, that's what Tosfos is saying, and that is reminiscent of something that we saw from the Dvar Avram already earlier in the week. The Dvar Avram drew such a distinction and said that people tend to pay things back that they're theoretically chayav to pay back. People tend not to pay things back that they're not theoretically chayav to pay back, even though lemaisa, there's no difference between the two. So earlier in the week, we had a little hesitation about that Svodah Dvar Avram. We thought that your average guy is not holding in the nuances of Baba Basra, the Tafam, and Al. Most people are not sitting and steiging through the Tosin and the Dvar Avrams and the Sukkahs in Khmer's Mal Chavera. But we already have a source possibly from Tosus for that Dvar Avram. If that's the way to read the Tosus just said, an independent Svodah, you're not chayiv in Pijabin, and therefore you don't pay it back before the Zman. Now let's continue. The Tosus four lines at the bottom. You want to know another reason why people don't pay back within this ban? Because they may not even reach the point of obligation in the first place, because the baby may die. In the case of the chov, when I borrowed $1,000 from you, the time's going to come. Nothing is going to change my obligation from taking effect in a few weeks from now. Therefore, psychologically, if I have a few pennies, say I buy a rubber, you might as well just pay it off for you. You have nothing to lose. But pigeon, then you'd be a fool to pay back before the 30 days comes. How do you know the baby's going to survive? So these are two very, very different answers. And then again, it makes sense if you read it vishema, that they're two distinct, two independent answers. One could possibly read the Tosus a little bit differently. Now, I don't mean to make an emendation of the text of the Tosus, but if you change the vav to the dalid, it would read a lot better. The Tosfos is saying about Gavi Bechor, Katlan Chayv Klaya, Dishyama Yomos Pesuch Lamid Yovi Yipater. Tosfos didn't mean to say at first that there's no chiyuv, there's no halachic, and therefore you're not going to pay. What Tosfos meant to say is that this may not reach fruition, this chiyuv. The chiyuv may never really become a reality. Dishyama Yomos Abay Pesuch Lamid, Hoz Haraya, the baby may die. So according to the first way we read the Tosfos, there are two separate independent reasons. One's halachic, one's practical in nature. According to the second way of reading the Tosfos, it's all practical in nature. Nothing depends on halacha in terms of determining what the psychology is. It's all practical. The mice, will the baby die? If you go down the first route of Tosfos, that Tosfos is making a real halachic statement that pidyon haben doesn't exist before 30 days, we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, is that really true? That's going to set the stage for our question. They say, well, what is the halacha? Forget about us. Forget about Avheim and Aleph in Baba Basra for a minute. Let's learn for a moment together the sugya of pidyon haben. Torah says in Parshas Korach, uftuya mi ben chodesh tifteh. After 30 days, the mitzvah pidyon haben begins. So yesh lachor, let me raise the following question. How do we understand this timeline of 30 days? Is pshat that until 30 days comes, there's no mitzvah, zero, nothing, absolutely nothing. Until you reach that point, any mitzvah, pidyon haben you do beforehand, is namish dvar b'teilim. Moshe l'mad v'domeh, I'm going to decide now, you know, it's a few months, but I can already feel Tu B'Shvat almost in the year, and it's cutting around the bend, and regular Purim, it's almost Pesach. Why should I wait till the end of April to eat matzah? I'll sit down now. I'll have my matzah now in advance. Whether you're over about Pesach is another discussion, but a fool you for sure are. So comes that loch and says, it's not this man yet. The mitzvah hasn't come yet. What are you doing, Pidyon haben, for? So before 30 days, it's mamish dvar b'teilim. Or could I almost formulate it in a little bit of a lumdish way and say that the ikaron, fundamentally, the mitzvah may really take effect, may really take hold the moment that the baby is born. There may be some kind of a technicality as to why this mitzvah is kind of practically put on hold for 30 days, but don't view the 30 days leading up to the mitzvah pidyon haben as being dvar b'teilim. Don't you view it in the same way as saying it's like a month before Pesach. There may be something different about those 30 days that may lead us to believe that to some degree there is an obligation of pidyon haben even before 30 days. Now, Tosfos mached this up. Tosfos made light of this. Tosfos says, no chiyuv, zero, nothing to talk about. If you'd ask me, I would say the same thing. I would say, like, why should you formulate the mitzvah in such a bizarre way? If the Torah says, why would anybody in their right mind think that there's something before 30 days? So the Rambam seems to think that way. If you take a look at the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, the Rambam is quoting Mishnayos and Sugyas and Maseches Bechoros about all the wild, crazy scenarios of Pidyon Ben, in cases that are not too common as man as that. The Rambam starts out with Mishalo Bikra Ishto, his wife has not yet had a firstborn. The older Zoch in a cave of Inidu Ezben Yatsarisha, she gives birth to twins, a boy and a girl. Nobody paid attention which one came out first. So we're not sure. Is it a Pidyon Ben? Not a Pidyon Ben. Complicated, scenarios. Then you have to give birth to two boys, and I'm sure which every possible situation under the sun. The Rambam is quoting from the Mishnah, the Gemara's describing. But the one that concerns us is the following. The second line in the Rambam, fifth of the Rambam Kamos. Yolda Shnei Zichorim. His wife gave birth to twin boys. Afal Bishayin Yadu Eiz Mehana Bechor. Nobody was paying attention as to which one was the Bechor. No sin Heislam. The father still has to give 5 shekel to the Kohen for a very simple reason. Yitzchayim Pidyon Ben. My nafkamina, whether it's Peretz or Zerach, it's Reuben or Shimon. At the end of the day, he has a chiyuv Pidyon Ben. You don't have to know who the baby is. The baby doesn't even have to be here for the Pidyon Ben. So clearly, the father is chayav to pay 5 shekelim. But now it starts to get tricky. What if one of these two babies dies before 30 days? If the baby dies before 30 days, remember Tosfos quoted for the Mishnah, there's no chiyuv Pidyon Ben. So now I have a strange situation. One of the babies died within 30 days, but you don't know whether it's the Bechor that died or the non-Bechor that died, because you don't remember which was which. So now you have, in effect, a Suffolk Pidyon Ben. There's a 50-50 chance that Reuven has to give Pidyon Ben money because he doesn't know which of the two boys was the Bechor. Potter, then he's Potter. You know, why should Matzvah of Araya? Because Pidyon Ben is governed by the rules of Dinei Mamonos. The Mishnah says, whenever you don't know whether you have to give Pidyon Ben, you don't have to give it. Suffolk, Lakula, Suffolk, Mamonos, Lakula. Let the coin go prove that the baby that's still alive was in fact the Bechor. So now the Ram continues with the next case. Neisa'av. What if these two babies are in front of us? One is for sure Bechor, one is for sure not a Bechor. We just have no idea which is which. And now the father dies. So obviously, not come to the father anymore. Question is, are we going to come to these babies? They get a little bit older. Are we going to come to them and we're going to say, you guys are chayav and pidyon ben? So the Chora, we're not going to be able to do that. Because to come to Reuven, let's say, Reuven had two babies. Reuven had, we'll call him, let's say, Yehuda had two babies. Peretz and Zerach. We have Peretz and Zerach. We're going to come to Peretz and Zerach in a few years from now and say, Peretz, please give Pidyon Ben money. Me? The other guy. Zerach? It's the other fella. So each one's going to be a something. So to come out the B'chor themselves, obviously our hands are tied. But what?
It sounds like a fella that's almost impossible because this is a chiyuv d'oraisa on both the father and eventually the son. And if it's chiyuv d'oraisa, suffering d'oraisa of Chumra, and most of the Chumra of Raya, sure, you may not be able to obey the Kohen, but the chiyuv that the husband or the children would continue life and say, you know, I might have a chiyuv to be, you know, always b'tocha beis hamikdash.
Always have a beis hamikdash. Not only you're asking for Henry, he's asking the most lumbish question in the sugya that you're not asking the Rambam, you're asking the Mishnah. Why in the world does the Mishnah apply the rule of Motzach Lebarai to Suffolk Pidyon Ben to a Suffolk Mitzvah? The same way, if I'm sitting around Rosh Hashanah at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't remember that I blow shofar, I have to blow again. I don't remember whether I ate matzah, I have to eat matzah again. So if I don't know whether I fulfill Pidyon Ben, I have to do it. So Suffolk Pidyon Ben, that's your real question. But the Mishnah says explicitly not that way. What's the lumbus of the Mishnah? So clearly the Mishnah is driving at it as follows, that Pidyon Ben is governed by Dinei Mamonos. Pidyon Ben is fundamentally a mitzvah to give Dinei Mamonos. So Rav Shimon Shkok, Rav Shimon says, the mitzvah is to give the money b'toras chiyuv Pidyon Ben. If you're not the chuyuv of Dinei Mamonos to give the money, you want to give a nice gift of 5 shekel to the guy. That's beautiful. That's a happy birthday gift. That has nothing to do with Pidyon Ben. When you give Pidyon Ben to the Kohen, quote unquote Pidyon Ben to the Kohen, that you're not mechuyav in chashimish to give, it's not even chal. It's not to Pidyon Ben. That's a gift to the Kohen. That is not the mitzvah pidyon haben. And therefore, there's no purpose. You accomplish nothing by giving it to him. You're trying, I'm going to be self-from. I'm going to be yaitzei the mitzvah, sofik the ra'is l'chumra. What you're doing is simply sending a gift of 5 shekels, token gift to the kohen. That's not pidyon haben. Yeah, that's a pal. That was not mikra din. That's not the halacha. Is not that way. It's not mikra din. Mikra din. The din is that suffering pidyon haben.
This answers another question. We'll get that
as we go on. So again, so clearly we have these two babies in front of us. They're now grown up. They're not, each one is bar mitzvah. And we're going to come to them and say, we'd like you to give pidyon haben. He's going to say, go to my brother. No one's going to get pidyon haben out of these kids. But the problem is, wait a second. Where did they get all their property from? Where did they get all their money from? They got all their money from the father. So isn't the Yerusha obligated? Isn't the estate? Doesn't the coin have a claim against the estate of the father? The father was for sure chayav pidyon haben. Yeah, we don't know which baby put on the silver platter. We make room for both of them. But we know that the father had a chayav to give pidyon haben money. So if the father had a chayav to give pidyon haben money. Oh, so let's see, when did this father die? That comes the critical moment. So normally the halacha is as follows. If Reuven dies, is his estate payable? It depends. Any chiyuv that was incurred before his death, the estate is payable. Any chiyuv that now takes effect after his death, the estate is not payable. It comes around with the following statement. The third line, the fifth of Rambam Gemara. Mesa, the father dies, bein b'sel shloshim yom, bein achas shloshim yom. Whether it's before 30 days or after 30 days. Bein shlochilka achim, bein shechilka, that's when the brothers divide the property, that's not our subject right now. You know, say, minan achosim, hey, sloim, lakoin, shikba nischai, bohan achosim. Says the Rambam, the property of the father has already become meshubad, has already become obligated to pidyon haben. What did the Rambam say? Neisab, so shloshim yom. Before 30 days. Where did that happen from? How did that occur? How in the world did the property of the father become mechuyav in pidyon haben if it's still within? Okay. All right. So how can the Rabbi make such a statement that so? If the danger may stop is so high, how could the Rabbi make such a blanket statement? That under all circumstances, there's a mitzvah of pidyon haben. There's no chiyuv. The chiyuv achor didn't start. This is not my kasha. This is the Torah's kasha. Take a look at the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam at the end of the fifth of the Rambam Kamos. Hatur kosev al zeh, the ainu nira came to Gemara. The Torah says it doesn't appear that way. El meisa af toch lamid yom afil lo chuk p'turim. The meisa achalam and then chayom. Then I got the Torah. The Rambam's halfway right. We'll meet the Rambam halfway. If the father died after 30 days, then I understand. The father died within 30 days. Why in the world should there be a chiyuv pidyon haben? So clearly the Rambam is telling us something here that is against what we would have thought. We started out thinking, you know, we were so proud of ourselves. We quoted the Tosfos, there's no chiyuv there. Nothing, there's no chiyuv pidyon haben before 30 days. Pasuk, not so simple, not so fast. It would appear from the Rambam that something did occur within 30 days. The question is, what was it? How do we define properly? What are the parameters of this somehow quasi-chiyuv that appears, that doesn't appear, it's somewhere in Neverland? What is the status of pidyon haben within 30 days? So there is a Gemara in the sixth of the Maamar Kamos. It's a Gemara of a Kamad Afid Alaf of a Beis. Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar. B'chor shenitraf b'soch lamid yom ein poter nosel. Of a b'chor, I don't want to define the word nitrof because that's going to be the entire sugya. Something happened to the b'chor within 30 days, so there's no chiyuv b'pidyon. Not only was this a statement of the Amoraim Ulan Rabbi Elazar, but this was a braisa that was taught by Rabbi Bachama. We told Shinema Padotifte. The Torah says Padotifte, which sounds like you had to always do it, no matter what. Pidja ben and all circumstances. No. Yachal afilu nitra pesach lamid yom. I might think even nitra, yeah, not still not defined yet. I might think afilu nitra pesach lamid yom would be obligated pidja ben. Like ach is always a like halfway, like partial, like ach marisha that we spoke about so much last year. Ach tells me that the following statement doesn't always apply. There's a limitation to the following statement. So the limitation is b'chosh in nitra. So there's a special possible, special gzeres ha'kos taught us that in a case of b'chosh in nitra, there is no obligation of pidyon ben. Of course, the million-dollar question becomes, what is the b'chosh in nitra? What do the words mean? So Rashi on the spot gives you a whole shtickl Torah. First, he tells you what b'chosh in nitra is not, and he tells what it is. So ein pardon oso, ein tzach l'vdoso. There's no mitzvah on this case. Says Rashi, v'meis me'atzmo. If this child died by itself, so clearly Rashi is already telling you the nitrif has something to do with dying. That's what b'chosh nitrif is going to mean. That the baby nebuch is no longer alive. So says Rashi, if the baby just died, just stopped naturally, lo itzrich lo nemeimah. Says I don't need a gemara to tell me that you're potter. I don't need a pasuk to tell me. I don't need an acha brisa. I don't need any of that to tell me that if the baby dies before 30 days, of course there's no mitzvah pidyon ben. Taksiv of tu ben chodesh tifteh. Because the Torah says 30 days. Aval hashta itzik lashminan, but now b'choshe nitrof clearly means the baby is not alive, but didn't die naturally, i.e. some kind of an accident. The baby got killed. That's what b'choshe nitrof means. So comes Rashi and says, oh, wait a second, b'choshe nitrof, the baby was never killed within 30 days. That's a good svara to say that there is a mitzvah, pidyon ben. What's the svara? What's the chiluk? Whether the baby died or was killed, it didn't make it to day 30. So Rashi explains. Well, hashta itzik lashminan. The loyam rinan ilo igdol havichai. Don't say the following. If the baby would have not gotten killed, it would still be alive. Lo nefel hava. There's nothing wrong with the baby. Nefel means a baby that didn't develop properly. It never really was able to live in the first place. So comes Rashi and says, obviously, if the baby nebuch, baby's born in day 14, all of a sudden the baby just nebuch dies naturally. So then says Rashi, of course, there's no pidyon ben, it's such a baby. It's an eifel. That baby was not livable in the first place. That baby was not even in the parish of living. But a baby that was perfectly healthy and nebuch got an accident on day 14 and died, that's a good svar to say you chayv pidyon ben. So kamash pulon happens to be the anat chayv. So I want to analyze that for a second. What's the svar? What kind of svar is that? That if the baby died naturally for short potter, the baby was killed, then maybe it's chayv. Why should it be such a svar l'chalek? So clearly what Rashi is saying is as follows. This magic number 30 days, b'chodesh tifteh. Why is this such a zman? What is this based on? So usually when it comes to mitzvahs, we don't ask those questions. Why does the Torah say you have to wait till 8 days for Brisbane? Why does the Torah say you have to wait till Echad B'Tishrei Bo Shofar? Why does the Torah say wait till Tesvav Nisan to eat matzah? Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way. There's a dinei Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is blazer. This is the time for shofar. This is the time for matzah. This is the time for bris. Don't ask any questions why before and silly questions. But pidyon ben, says Rashi, is not such a silly question, because there happens to be a physical reality. The Gemara actually tells us that for the first 30 days of a baby's life, we don't really know for certain that this baby is going to live. This baby is what we call a suffix nafel. We're not really sure. Every baby that's born, we're not even sure this baby is a viable baby in the first place. To be determined. Baby dies in 30 days. Oh, now we know. That's what the famous Shita, the Balamor, said. Why do you make a shechiyanu at a pidyon ben? Because now the baby survived 30 days. So the famous kash is, so what do you make it on a girl? What do you make it on a non-bechor? So we have to learn as soon as the pidyon ben to figure out what the answer to that question is. But 30 days is the cutoff point for the doctors. That's what the neonatologist will tell you. For the first 30 days, you don't really know. After 30 days, now we're good to go. It comes Rashi and says, the Zman of Pidyon Ben of 30 days is not, it's almost like an arbitrary existence. That kind of Zman. It corresponds to a physical, biological reality. And therefore, one could have argued that if the baby just dies naturally, obviously, Gloy Milsa, turns out it was never really a viable baby. But if the baby never gets in a car accident, so then it probably was a normal baby. Probably was a viable baby. And never a tragedy happened. So I would have said a good svar to say this is a mitzvah pidyon ben. It's not such a crazy svar. It happens to be the Torah says that. We defer to Rav Shmuel's dias of achpa the tiftek, but those are ended up pidyon ben. But fundamentally, the svar is correct. That the magic number 30 is not like Bris Milah, it's not like Pesach, not like Rosh Hashanah. The 30 days corresponds to a physical reality. What's the significance of this pshat in Rashi? If you go down this route of Rashi, then what would you say about the following? The baby's born, so day one, we're not sure what's going to live. Day two, day three, day four, no pidyon ben yet. Day 14, day 28, we're not sure. Come day 31, Baruch Hashem, mazel tov, the baby made it to day 31. What do we say now on day 31? Retroactively, we just realized that this baby was healthy from day one. This baby was a viable birth from day one. Guess what? If what prevented the chiv of pidyon ben from being chal was the non-certainty of the viability of this baby, once day 31 comes, the glory Muslim afraid the baby was a healthy good baby, and therefore it's possible to say, guess what? The mitzvah of pidyon ben was chal when? From day one, from the moment the baby was born, retroactively. So once you put this spin, this twist on pidyon ben, this 30-day Ishtel Torah that Rashi says, so then it's possible to say that doing the pidyon ben before day 30 is not a nothing. Doing the pidyon ben before the 30 days are over, don't do it now because you don't even know that you're going to chay, because maybe the baby's not going to live. But if the baby does live, you learn Muslim Afreya that the pidyon ben really did take effect, really was meaningful. It was legitimate pidyon ben within 30 days. Comes the Maharit al-Ghazi, the Vaz wrote a classic Parish on Maseches Bechoros. Comes the Maharit al-Ghazi and he says, that's the Pshat Shit Rambam. The tour, because everyone's screaming at the Rambam, why is the father's estate Chayav? 30 days didn't come yet. Where's the Chayav? Where's the Shibun? Says Maharit al-Ghazi, that's the Rambam. What do you mean? Once the baby makes it past day 30, now we shoot the Chayav backwards. We say retroactively, oh, wait a second, the Chayav was Chayav from day one. Guess what? The father was still alive day one. The father died on day 14. Since the father was alive in day one, his nechasim were meshuvan back from day one. Yigloi Nilsa, that there was a chiv on the nechasim, and therefore that chiv is enforceable for these children at a later point. That's the beer of the Rambam. So if you put together Rashi and Mavakama with the Rambam and Nuchas Bikurim, you put the Shtichel Torah together, it comes out that within 30 days, it's not a nostic, it's not a zero. There is a chiv to be determined chiv of a pidyon ben. Retroactively, there will be such a chiv of a pidyon ben. If we're correct in our reading of the Rambam, and we're correct in our reading of Tosus, then it's really machlekes in the two. Because Tosus, the last master, you said that there's no chiyuv, zero, nothing, absolutely nothing. There's no chiyuv. Don't even talk about chiyuv before 30 days. The Rambam seems to disagree. It happens to be that it's not a great surprise that Tosus disagrees with the Rambam, because Tosus happens to actually disagree with this Rashi as well as Bava Kama. Tosus in Bava Kama says this is not even the pshat in Bechosh and Itrov. Tosus says, if that baby's not alive on day 31, there's no pidyon ben to talk about, because Tosus basically compares day 31 to like a bris, to like matzah and shofar and lulav. There's nothing, zero exists across of. What is Bechosh and Itrov mean according to Tosus? It happens to mean something totally different. The baby's still alive, it just became a trefa. It just developed some kind of an internal problem. It's going to die. It's going to die, but it's not dead yet. So it's a whole different story, Lagam, right? But Tosus says the baby's not alive on day 31. I don't even want to hear about it possibly not for having the wildest dreams of a pidyon ben. So we have really two different approaches now playing out as to what is that role, what is that mysterious, you know, in between on between the birth of the baby and day 31 of the baby. According to Rashi, the Rambam, there seems to be some kind of a retroactive pidyon ben that's kind of hanging and waiting to take effect. According to Tosus, absolutely nothing happens on day 31. Question is, any of this really, really mean anything besides that, you know, the Rambam's wild case of the father dying, that crazy, and Bechosh and Nitrof, these wild cases, and the Tosus about paying back, that paying back. Is there any real live Nafka Midladina? How you view Pidyon Ben? So we're going to have to see this show next week. This is going to set the stage for a real Shaila, potentially Mamsha Maisa Shaila in terms of Pidyon Ben. And then hopefully we'll try to put some of the final touches back on that Tosus in terms of when people do pay back, don't pay back. Try to get a, you know, flesh out the details of the Sugi Bavasa. That's of course the next question. What can you do about this for the Ram? Can I go ahead and say I'm going on vacation? I'm through the pidyon ben now.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
that's nothing.
Everything okay? Everything okay?